Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, welcome back to the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM, where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. Con Bertish, our first guest, and what a story, you know. I mean, he's done it and now sharing his knowledge. Absolutely love that. Con was talking a lot about facing fear. He was talking about anxiety. He was talking about people who are overwhelmed. And just the increase really around the world globally, we seem to be in a world where we are always switched on. It's very demanding, and feeling exhausted seems to be normal, but is it really? And so when we look at terms like adrenal fatigue or chronic fatigue syndrome or burnout, which is what a lot more people are using to describe and to explain their symptoms, we have to sit up and we have to think about what is happening in our lives, and certainly with a lot of stress. So we're going to be, and pertaining to the show, you know, being talking a lot about cancer and cancer journeys. And then, of course, if someone in your family has cancer and you are the caregiver, or if you're a caregiver and it's your profession, or if you're a friend and you are the caregiver, how do you manage it? How do you manage the stress? How do you manage the overwhelm? Is there burnout when it comes to being a caregiver? And if so, how do you deal with it? So Vanessa Gordon is joining us today from the South African Depression and Anxiety Group to talk about caregiver burnout. Vanessa, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Did I pronounce your name correctly, Vanessa? Oh, wonderful.
Vanessa is fine.
Vanessa. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. As I said, thank you for joining us. So, you know, I've just shouted out chronic fatigue syndrome, adrenaline fatigue and burnout, and we hear it more and more. But let's just focus on burnout. And if you can give our listeners some kind of definition, what is burnout?
So burnout is that space where you're not just tired, you almost don't have the capacity to carry on. So, you know, when that concept of, you know, you must fill your cup before you can fill someone else's. But yes, burnout is actually that space where you don't have your cup. That's a huge thing. You don't have your cup anymore. So what are you going to fill?
So that's interesting. And I'm wondering, people who are listening, who are going, oh my goodness, I feel that way. I don't even have my cup. That must happen slowly. This is not something that happens overnight.
Oh, definitely. It happens slowly. And I mean, there are some, you know, core challenges when you are a caregiver, right? And long term, over time, it reaches mental exhaustion or sometimes identity loss. So you don't know the things that give you joy anymore because you're focused on that other person's well-being. It can be emotional overload, or even that need for support for yourself. But time is a factor, energy is the factor, capacity is a factor. So it almost feels like it's impossible to take some time out to even have a cup of tea, right? I was in an interview not long ago, and something came to me, and I think it's something that I'd like to share, is that, you know, when you're making breakfast, so say you're a caregiver, right, and you're looking after your loved one, you're caring for their breakfast, you're managing the medication, all of this stuff, and you have a schedule in the morning, 9 o'clock breakfast, 8 o'clock medication, whatever it may be, often within that schedule, you haven't put in a 10-minute space where you can have tea or breakfast. And that just gives you an idea of how little time you're giving to yourself. And the thing is, all you need is 5 minutes, right, to have a cup of tea, to boil a kettle, have a cup of tea, sit down for 5 minutes and just sort of breathe. And that's often the little bits of spaces is what you're needing.
You know, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about being a mother, a mother to a newborn. And I think that that's the same thing. But I think that what's at play there is, in terms of no time for yourself, is that you've got all of these hormones And a lot of the hormones are there to help you through the exhaustion, because it is such an overwhelming time. Whereas here, where you're this caregiver, you don't, like, physiologically, you don't have anything to support you. You know, there's nothing there that's built in to help you through this.
Exactly.
And so I suppose that's really why, I mean, if you're going to turn to anyone when it comes to that, it's inward and turning to yourself. This isn't an external issue, is it?
No, it's definitely an internal issue. And it also comes down to, you know, our own ability to manage stress, right? Each of us are different. We cannot say that if my 3-minute break when I'm feeling overwhelmed is going to help me, that it's going to help you. Mm-hmm. Right? We're all unique. We need to find out what works for us and what caregivers need to do from the very beginning. And I mean, even if you're in the middle, even if you're in a space where you're listening and you're like, oh my goodness, I am burnt out. What can I do? It's taking those small steps. It's taking that small little gaps or snippets of time to just give yourself that time to breathe. Just give yourself time to maybe journaling. You know, is a huge thing, I know, but intentional journaling. So using journal prompts instead of just doing that dear diary entry, using journal prompts, understanding who you are, what do you like, what do you enjoy? And I know that when you are a caregiver, it is very, you know, you are hypervigilant. Remember, your rest is affected as well. You're hypervigilant. You have to make overwhelming decisions sometimes. Right? So it can be very stressful. And you're in that space where stress level is high up there. But what are you doing to maintain yourself? So if from the very beginning, you start and you say, okay, these are the times that I'm giving myself, even if it's 5-minute gaps, even if it's getting extra support from other loved ones, you're going to have to know that this is a team situation, right? I mean, you can't be the sole caregiver consistently, even though sometimes we are forced to be. It's about actually saying, how am I going to manage this? And I know that work-life balance and balance is a huge, you know, sort of it word, but it's the hardest thing to manage.
Yeah. You know, while you've been talking, Vanessa, I wanted to actually perhaps identify what a caregiver is, because maybe there are people who are going, oh, well, I'm not really a caregiver because I don't give the medicine, but I'm there for my partner or my parent or my sibling or my friend or whatever it is all the time I'm visiting. Would that constitute a caregiver as well? So is it someone who is just doing it for a member of the family, someone who's doing it professionally, and does it even matter?
Doesn't even matter. You're a caregiver as long as you're looking and caring and supporting someone else.
Very
so
important.
Think about it this way. If you are a partner, right? Just say you're a partner and now your partner has, in this case, it would be diagnosed or being treated for cancer, right? Mm-hmm. And you are going to work on a daily basis, but you're still coming home. So now you wake up in the morning, you're looking after your loved one. And yes, maybe they're capable during the day to look after themselves. But in the morning, you might be making the food for the afternoon. You might be taking care and putting their medication in the little, you know, those medication setups. It's the wrong word to use, but anyway. And
yeah.
Then you might be prepping the house. You might have to help them shower in the morning before you leave. And then when you come home, it's again that you have to be the caregiver. So you have to say, okay, are we making supper? Have we made it already? Are we going to sit down and eat? It might be bathing. It might be medication. It might be just sitting with them and watching a television, watching a TV episode or program. So that also constitutes being a caregiver. But remember that it's not, you know, when you are a caregiver, there's no 9 to 5.
Yeah.
After 5 o'clock, it doesn't mean that you clock out and you're done. You are constantly on call. So that's where rest comes in. And I know I mentioned it very briefly, but sleep is such a vital, you know, a vital aspect of life. And we all need that, right? We need rest. But do we all get it?
Yeah. And I mean, I think also perhaps an overriding thing as well, that we have to consider, and we're going to go back to the few tips that you have, is the emotional part. So you are a caregiver, and you have an emotional attachment to the person who has been diagnosed, who's going through treatment, or who perhaps is in a lot of pain. And while you're trying to be there to support them, you know, physically, and then, you know, give them the medication, and emotionally, dealing with your own emotional state. How is that where the journaling comes in?
Absolutely. Journaling, the use of, I know that SADAG has support groups for caregivers and loved ones. And I think that also gives you that sense of community. So also like setting your boundaries, you know, there's certain things that you just cannot do. And I think sometimes our boundaries are very pushed when we are a caregiver, but also being aware of what is my absolute no and what are things that I can manage. So using your other family members, not the wrong word is using, but utilizing them so that you have other people that you can lean on. You know, I know I was watching a webinar, I think it was earlier this morning, and they spoke about actually, you know, connecting to your other loved ones, having someone that you can talk to, someone that you can just express everything you're feeling. And some of us don't have a sister or a mom or a best friend that we can speak to, but that's where SADAG comes in, right? Those counselors are there so that you can phone them and just maybe have that conversation, air out those emotions, you know, speak to someone that is not going to judge or give you solutions, but is just going to listen. Often what helps us the most is just being heard.
Yeah. I think that's very important, Vanisha, because as a caregiver, if you are there for whatever that person is going through, you're almost like the vessel. So you're holding a space for them. And then, as you say, who's holding it for you? And you certainly, maybe you don't want to share it with other family members because maybe you don't want them to know that you're filled with fear about Absolutely. What the outcome may or may not be. And to have a space with, you're kind of anonymous, you know, as in it's there's no connection. I think it's so important. So there are specific groups for caregivers, Vanisha?
Yes, there are support groups. So there's over 200 support groups for various groups across the country. And I think that's something that's so helpful. You know, SADAG started, just to let you know that the founder of SADAG, Zane Wilson, actually started SADAG initially was because of a support group. She started a support group that just grew and grew. And that's how SADAG eventually is now 30 years old.
And what they offer is just so valuable because we've had quite a few people come on who are offering these support groups. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that people have a place to go, because to keep something inside, to not be able to express, to be held, is awful. It's awful, and it can't be good for the burnout. So back to the tips that you've given us. You spoke about taking time out, you know, 5 minutes for tea, how important that is, how vital sleep is, journaling, very important. What else do you suggest for people who are listening, who are caregivers and who've reached that point where they don't even have a cup, never mind their cup is too full? Is there a way of pressing a reset button? Because, you know, can the recovery be quick enough so that they can be there, or is this a slow process?
It's a process. It's definitely a process. And it's like, how am I going to say this? Oh, okay. I've got it. It's like, you know, when you're in grade one, you can't be expected to do a matric math problem.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the tools. Right. So yeah, we have to start from the starting. So getting the tools. Some of us, it might be literally a 5 minute sit outside in the sun that can help us reset in that moment. And we can do that 5 times a day if you feel like you need it 5 times a day. Breathing exercises are wonderful if it works for you. All right. So trying these different things help. Journaling, not just your diary, but actually, you know, highlighting what am I grateful for today? Who am I grateful for today? What are the 3 things that made me feel brave today? So using different prompts that also highlight the fact that we have to think about it, right? a list of people for support. So even if SADAG's on that list, please use them. Those counselors are waiting there to speak to anyone that is struggling. Setting boundaries. So also knowing where your limits are and where you can utilize other loved ones, right? Therapy. So counseling is vital if you are in this space. I cannot stress that enough. Having someone to speak to that is non-judgmental, that is a safe space where you can just offload some of your feelings, right? And then also the support groups to actually help you do that. Maybe you lost a little bit of your identity. I know in the beginning we mentioned identity loss. If you want to know yourself again, right? Maybe have a cup of coffee one day and be like, oh, I don't really like coffee. Let's try tea the next day. Mm-hmm. So trying different things becomes very important.
I think that what you've suggested, you know, because we spoke about burnout, it takes a long time till you get there and then you're there. And you're saying, you know, one step at a time so that you can get your cup back and you can be there for yourself so that you can be there for the other. But I think it's very important for all caregivers to do that now. Like it shouldn't be waiting until you're feeling burnt out that you start to introduce.
From the beginning.
Yeah, from the beginning. I think that's so important, Vanessa. It's very often we only implement things when we've reached kind of rock bottom or we're not well or we're crashing.
Exactly.
And we can't get to that point.
And you know, the when you just said that, I just thought of something and I remembered myself in the COVID space, right? And SADAG was so busy and things were just getting busier for us. We were working at home, 24-hour days, literally always working. And I actually implemented a mental health check-in for myself. So I had this little, I can probably send it through to your producers, but I had this little table that had, you know, like healthy, struggling, crisis. And I looked at those different symptoms almost every day, a few times a day, just to check in with myself. Like, how am I feeling right now? And, you know, checking in with how am I feeling? So putting 5 alarms on your phone at different times of the day and saying mental health check-in and checking in with yourself and saying, how am I feeling right now? Am I feeling tension? Am I feeling it in my neck? When last did I get up or walk around? When last did I have a glass of water? When last have I eaten? These are things that if we don't remind ourselves in our very busy lives now, we often forget. And what happens at the end of the day, you reach exactly what you said, that burnout space. But we have to put in these little snippets. So if we can check in, make it a habit of checking in, then we can almost pick it up in the beginning or the middle and not at the end.
Yeah, that is so brilliant, really. Because everything really boils down to self-awareness, being aware and kind of playing in that space of awareness, but we're just not aware. And you're talking about with these little reminders, you're just dropping into awareness. How am I? Yeah, I think that's so powerful. I really, really do. And I think it's so important. Let's not wait for the burnout and then it's a slow recovery. Let's rather find a way of managing energy, managing emotion, managing all of those areas so that you can show up as a caregiver to the other and to yourself as well, to be there for yourself. So, Vanessa, is there anything that we haven't covered that perhaps you want to just mention?
I think I have covered everything except for just one more thing that I'd like to say is that, you know, the concept of being strong. And yeah. I think it's a very sad thing that we assume being strong means not expressing emotion, not being sad, not, you know, showing that we cry or we shed a tear. But I think it's so important if we normalize vulnerability. So even for caregivers, if you're caregiving for a loved one, you're going to feel hurt, you're going to feel pain. And it's important to also show these emotions and say, you know, I am feeling like this. And it's okay that I'm feeling hurt. And it's not, being strong doesn't mean just being tough. Being strong also means being aware of how I'm feeling in this moment.
Mm. Mm. Such an important point. Vanessa, you've given us so much to think about. And I really, really hope that for those people who are listening, who are struggling, who are exhausted, who feel, oh, I don't even have a cup, that they will be able to use some of these tips to find their way back home and get that cup. So thank you so much. Thank you for the time. And of course, just to stress that SADAG is there, the South African Depression and Anxiety Group is there, available with support groups, with call centers, and they are there 24/7. Am I correct?
Absolutely. 24 hours a day, weekends, public holidays, always.
Amazing. Vanessa, thank you very, very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye. Vanessa Gordon, bye. Counselor at the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, talking about caregiver burnout. Wow, so many amazing points. Remember that if you missed some of them, we will be podcasting the show. You can catch it on the Chai FM website from tomorrow. But we've got some messages from some of our cancer warriors for you.